The Firehouse Follies are made possible by Fiddlin' Joe Enterprises with minor assistance from WFHB Community Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is WFHB ACE News reporter Fawn Sanity, coming to you live just a few short yards from Santa's workshop at the North Pole. We're in blizzard conditions here, but it's still possible to hear the howling of wolves, the roar of the polar bears, and the completely distinct and unique sounds being made by a large herd of reindeer near where I stand. If you listen closely, you may be able to hear the sound of chanting come from a demonstration of some sort being held directly in front of me.
I'll just trudge through the snow here. Oh, so we can hear what they're yelling. All I know is something is going on here. Wait, there's a quaintly dressed small person. Maybe he can tell us what's happening. You, in the funny clothes. What's your name, Shorty?
Please, I'm an elf. I'd rather be a dentist, but I'm an elf. I'm Ernestine Elf, otherwise known as Ernie. And don't call me Shorty. Surely you know that's not polite.
And don't call me Shirley. My name is Fawn.
You're a baby reindeer?
Enough of that. I'm here to find out what's going on. Is this an elfing picket line or what?
Indeed it is.
So what are you guys protesting?
Not guys. All elves out here are female.
Oh. It's hard to tell the difference with the funny clothes and the pointy shoes. What's this demonstration all about, Ernie?
We're demanding that Santa Claus steps down.
Steps down? Who would take his place?
Why, Mrs. Claus, of course. I mean, after all, she's the one who reads the maps and tells Santa where to go as his next stop. She's the one who reminds him what little Johnny or little Janie wants for Christmas. She feeds the reindeer. She cleans the workshop. Santa... like most men, he does squat. Why, without Mrs. Claus making the calendar, you'd have Christmas in July.
But he does bring the presents.
Ah, well, that's another thing. Mrs. Claus has gradually been making corrections to this present thing. You see, little Janie's going to get an M50 this year, and it'll be a doll house for Johnny. No more of this gender role model stuff.
Is Santa good with the idea of stepping down?
You want to talk to him? He said he was okay with giving interviews.
Oh, sure, I'd love to have an interview with Santa.
Okay, bring him in, girls.
Ho, ho, ho.
Santa, we have told you hundreds of times not to call us that ever again. Now, this nice reporter, she'd like to talk to you, so behave yourself.
Yes, well... what would you like for Christmas, little girl?
You see what I mean? He's demeaning, he's discriminatory, he's damaging to our egos.
Santa, are you ready to pack up your 19th century attitudes and retire?
Well, Rudolph and I have been looking at a place on the beach, out in Sonova Beach, California. I wouldn't mind going somewhere where it's warm for a while. The weather up here sucks. Merry Christmas!
Santa, what did we tell you?
Oh, sorry. Happy holidays!
That's much better.
So, Santa, is there anything you'd like to say to all the children out there before you go down your last chimney?
Well, there's just one thing.
And what would that be, Santa?
Live from the Weikart Brewer Katie Staff Auditorium, it's the Firehouse Follies!
Good afternoon and welcome to Blue Runner 2017 Firehouse Follies Winter 2017 Radio Variety Show Extravaganza. Coming to you live from the Ivy Tech Waldron Weikart Fish Ackerbergs Deckard Auditorium in beautiful Bloomington, Indiana. Our special guests for today's show are the Bloomington-based old-timey sound, New Hoosier Broadcasters. That's right. WFHB Gospel Girls and the faithful Firehouse Grounders. And, of course, we'll be featuring the hijinks of the Unusual Suspects radioactive troop, Master Tony Brewer on sound effects. Today's show is made possible by Ivy Tech Community College with assists from Fine Print, J. Lynn Designs, Azip Pizza, Best Taste Chinese Restaurant, and Need More Coffee Roasters. Now let's get things going with the Gospel Girls and the Rounders, who know you can run, but you can't hide.
Whoa, don't you know that there's no hiding place?
And now it's time to introduce a couple of guys we wish really would find a hiding place. Here's Richard Fish and Colonel Mike Kelsey.
Well, thank you, Dan, I think. And actually, we only come out of hiding four times a year to see if Kelsey sees a shadow.
Well, I like to come out of hiding just to listen to the Gospel Girls do songs like that.
That's right. Yeah.
It is nice to have all these nice people joining us here, and we hope that we do something that they'll like today.
Yes, it is really nice to see all of you here. And what do they have to look forward to today, Colonel Kelsey?
Well, actually, we'll get to that. First, Richard, have you got all your Christmas shopping done?
Oh, now, come on, Colonel. There's plenty of time for that. There's weeks and weeks yet, you know.
Well, I wanted to remind you of a special option you have this year.
Oh, yeah, sure. One of Fiddle and Joe's products, I assume. That's right.
There's lots of them. You might like ugly away. what we're talking about are these beautiful firehouse mugs. Tony Brewer, hold up those mugs. Those are Covfefe mugs, friends.
Yes, that's right. They are really quite nice, red and green and full of color. And
they're good for a good cause.
They are indeed. Because we're broke?
Badly bent, anyway. Badly bent. We need the money, and you need something to drink your Covfefe from. And that's about all I'll say about that, except that you could go to the Need More Coffee Roasters and check them out.
That's right. Every little mug helps, which is what you see in our cast here. Friends, we do need the money. And, you know, they're beautiful, they're practical, and they're overpriced. So please. That's all I'll say about that.
Well, back to show business. We're pleased to have a group of young folks here who are dedicated to playing music that was born long before they were. I'm speaking, of course, of the new Hoosier Broadcasters.
Yes. That's right. These guys are so young that their beards are older than they are.
And Ben cut about 3 feet off of his before this show, which was...
That's right. Yeah. Donated it to the cause.
Anyway, we've got these guys, and we have the WFHB Gospel Girls, who have a special tribute to the girl groups of the early 1960s. And we finally got our soap opera tuned up and ready to roll.
Lathered up, eh?
Yep, and of course, there will be the sound effects challenge in which I kick Tony Brewer's butt for the fifth straight show.
Yeah. In your dreams, Kelsey!
We'll see about that.
And as I was saying before I was so rudely interrupted,
oh, that's in the script.
There will be music from the Firehouse Rounders as well. Jason Fickle couldn't make it today. Ron Kadish has taken over as band leader. We expect Jason back next show.
And it sounds like we just ought to be getting on with it.
That's
what do you say?
Exactly right. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the new Hoosier Broadcasters.
All right. Yeah, most of these tunes are older than we are, and they're probably older than you are, too. Most of them are from maybe the 19th century. And one thing from the 19th century is a tradition called Breaking Up Christmas, where Christmas was broken up into the course of 12 days, sort of around the North Carolina, or South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia area. People would travel around, play tunes in other people's houses over the course of the 12 days of Christmas. It was called Breaking Up Christmas, and it lent its name to a tune from the 19th century, probably. It's lost. The origins of it are lost, but it's one we still play today, and we'll play for you now.
We're going to do a song with a theme as old as old-time music. Trains, derailings.
Murder.
Murder. Drunkenness. Adultery.
Yeah. All the hot topics.
Yep.
Yeah.
Home.
900 miles away from home. I'm 900 miles from my wife and my child, and I wish I was 900 more. Knocked him down, you can hear that poor boy holler 100 miles. Oh Lord, it's me, oh Lord, it's my. You can hear that poor boy holler 100 miles.
Those are the new Hoosier broadcasters, and they'll be back later in the show. Afternoon and welcome to WFHB's smash new domestic drama, The General's Hospital. In our last episode, we heard the general say,
"You
bleep 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 and bleep bleep."
I've told you a
bleep bleep
a thousand times, so
bleep
the
bleep
off.
As we begin today's exciting adventure, Nurse Crabtree has entered the room being occupied by the man described by hospital employees as Patient 9.
Nurse,
it's good to see you, finally. Please close the door. Lock it. I don't want to be interrupted.
Now, 9, you know I can't close and lock doors to patients' rooms. At least not without a good excuse.
You want a good excuse? Just look under my sheet. What do you make of this?
Oh, my. Is it really as big as it looks?
That's what I want you to tell me.
Well, here, I'll just pull it out for a closer look.
Will that hurt?
Oh, I don't think so. See? It's just a stuffed snake. Not a real one.
But who put it there? Is someone trying to make me lose what's left of my mind?
Who? Indeed!
Will I never find out who I really am? Will I never know the truth of what brought me to this hospital room?
Patient
As patient 9 makes his plaintive pleas to the unfeeling Nurse Crabtree, John and Marcia discuss their ongoing difficulties.
John?
Marcia.
John.
Marcia.
John.
Marcia.
John.
Marcia. Well, hello, everybody, and thank you for coming to this brief briefing. I hope you've all got your briefs on. I'm Dr. Hunk. I've just been hired to trim the big toe clinic down a bit, and I'd like to let you know how I intend to proceed. But first, please introduce yourselves so the audio radiance can know who you are. We'll start with this exceptionally good-looking woman on my left and work around the circle. Now, just tell me your names and any facts that you feel are important.
Hi, Dr. Hunk, and may I say, you certainly are a hunk.
Well, I know.
I'm Rosalind. I've been hanging with Big Toe Clinic for 2 months.
Yes.
I've had affairs with Julian, Sylvester, Sally, and Tom. I had to stop having affairs because I ran out of coworkers. I'll talk to you later, Doctor.
Yes, certainly.
Yes, well, I'm Julian, and I've been ingrown here for about a year. My brother is in jail for murder, and my whole life is dedicated to getting him acquitted. I miss a lot of work, and I walk around in a funk most of the time.
I'm Sylvester, and I'm the conduit of information here in the General Hospital. If you want the dirt on anyone, I'm the guy to ask.
Uh-huh.
Many people think I'm suspicious, so maybe, then often, I'm stubbed.
Well, Doctor, I'm Sally. Recently, I've had to confront my own sexual identity, which keeps everyone, including me, very confused. Since my torrid affair with Rosalind, I've had to identify as a woman that likes men and Rosalind. I never go to the bathroom because I just don't know which door to use. My life is now jammed here in the Big Toe Clinic.
I'm Tom. I've been here for about 3 days, just long enough to nail a passionate affair with Rosalind. I spent many years on the road, homeless, looking for my twin brother, Jerry, who was kidnapped by aliens when I was 5 and he was 3. My astrologer believes that he might be here in the General's Hospital with the alien who kidnapped him.
Oh, well, clearly each one of you is worthy of a fascinating storyline. Hopefully we'll develop them as we go. But for now, though, each of you should return to your main job here, and I'll be where you usually find me, in the doctor's lounge having a cup of coffee. Where's my firehouse fire?
Well, what do you think, Sylvester? How long do you think it will take before he's meeting me in the linen closet for breathless encounters?
I'd be careful if I were you, Rosalind.
Fortunately, you're not me. But why should I be careful?
There's more to that guy than meets the eye.
Okay, what does the rumor mill have to say about him?
Well, you remember Penelope Pringle?
The vascular recovery nurse? Of course. Real dishy, that one. I had such a crush on her, but it was all in vain. Whatever happened to her?
Nobody knows. She was here and there, and then, like so many of the veins she found, she disappeared. Some think she became a nun at an isolated convent, and others say she's working at a mission outside the grounds of Mar-a-Lago in Florida. Dr. Hunk and Penelope were a couple once, and rumor has it that he's here because he thinks that she is working somewhere in this hospital in disguise and with a different name. He won't have any time for you, Rosalind.
Oh, you never know about that. I have always appreciated a challenge.
Meanwhile, John and Marcia continue their discussion.
John.
Marcia.
John.
Marcia.
John.
Marcia.
John.
Marcia.
Now, once again, let's look in on patient 9, who is about to experience a major breakthrough.
Nurse Crabtree, I've been having some strange dreams lately.
Would you like to tell me about them then?
I dream I look into the mirror and I see a stranger. I hear people calling me by the name Jerry. Do you think that could be my real name?
That's certainly a possibility.
Am I patient 9 dreaming I'm Jerry? Or am I Jerry dreaming I'm patient 9? And why is someone stuffing stuffed snakes in my hospital bed? Nurse Crabtree, I don't care if people do say you're ugly. Kiss me. Only you can save me from the sense that I'm in a Bergman movie and not the healthy soap opera my agent promised.
Oh, Jerry. I mean, patient 9. For all this time, I've only wanted the best for you. Can you believe that?
We've known each other before, haven't we? It all seems so real to me.
Yes. Yes. For many years. The accident was not my fault. It was that damned flock of turkeys they dropped from the helicopters. I had no choice but to bring you here. I came with you to make sure that you were treated well.
Oh, Porky, I can see clearly now. And it's going to be a bright, bright, sunshiny day. Kiss me.
Oh. Nurse, what are you doing?
I'm kissing my patient, Doctor. You should try it sometime.
Well, actually, I...
The head surgeon himself said we need more tender-loving care in this hospital. And I always do what I'm told. Good old obedient Cat Crabtree, that's me.
Except you're not really Nurse Crabtree, are you? I know, you're wearing a disguise. You're really my long-lost love, Penelope Pringle. You see, if you weren't, you wouldn't get the fanfare. Why are you kissing this man when you have me?
Sorry, Doctor. I'm not Penelope Pringle. I don't know where she is, but I'm not her.
Oh, but you are. All right, I'm going to rip off that disguise and prove it.
No, Doctor, this is inappropriate.
Oh.
You'll get fired.
Penelope, my beloved Penelope, come to Daddy.
No, please.
Hey, just a minute. What's going on? She's supposed to be kissing me.
Wait a minute. You're not Penelope. She only had 2 eyes. And her hair didn't look like a Brillo pad. What have you done with Nurse Crabtree?
I left her in the linen closet, making out with that head surgeon.
Again?
He was already on third base, ready to steal home, but he dribbled one down the foul line.
Jerry, is that you? My long-lost twin brother? And who is this... creature here?
Oh, I think he said his name was Dr. Hunk.
No, not him. I mean the one with all the eyes and the Brillo pad wig.
Oh, why, that's Gasporkagunk. I remember it all now, Tom. You, Mom, Dad, the pot-bellied pig. Porky's spaceship that carried me away.
Now we can run away again, Jerry. We already ate the pig, but we can still be together.
That's all I want. Can you forgive me, Tom?
Now that I know you're safe, yeah, I understand. I'm not sure I want to see pictures of your children, though. At least not if they have their mother's eyes.
Now, wait a minute. I can't allow this to happen. You'll all just have to come along with me. Acting in my capacity as an intergalactic customs enforcement agent, I am placing you all on detainment.
You're in ICE? That's cool.
Gasporkagunk, we've had our eyes on you for a long time.
Is that why she has so many?
You weren't looking for Penelope?
I was starting to feel sorry for you.
Penelope, she's yesterday's news. She's gone off somewhere, doing something she probably thinks is noble. But not me. I'm working for the government. I'm waiting for it, sorry. Come with me now.
No, you'll never take me alive, hunk!
Oh, my God! She drove right through the window, and I don't see any sign of her. How could she have survived?
We're on the first floor, stupid.
Well, I'll find her. I swear on my mother, hunk, the search will never end.
Dr. Hunk find the woman now known as Gasporkagunk? Will Julian clear his brother of murder charges? Will Sally resolve her sexual identity? Will Rosalind find another person to have an affair with? Will Nurse Crabtree and the head surgeon finally score in the linen closet? And will Marcia and John ever move on to verbs?
John?
Marcia.
John.
Marcia.
John?
Marcia?
John?
Marcia.
Join us next time when you will hear the general say...
You!
Bleep, 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 and bleep, bleep.
I've told you a...
Bleep, bleep.
Thousand times, so...
Bleep.
The...
Bleep.
Off.
Let's join the WFHB Gospel Girls and pay our respects to a pop music genre dating back from the early 1960s known as girl group songs. We'll start with the Crystals, who in 1963 recorded a song written by Jeff Berry, Ellie Greenwich, and Phil Spector called Da Do Ron Ron. And if you've ever wondered what the words Da Do Ron Ron mean, well, they don't mean anything. They were nonsense lyrics used to establish the chorus musically until the writers could think up some real words to take the place. In this case, though, Phil Spector decided that he preferred them to any real words they might think of. Go figure. The lead vocals were sung by Lala Brooks, and one of the backup singers on the recording was Cher. Girls, take it away.
On a Monday and my heart stood still. Da-do, run, 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 da-do, run, run. Somebody told me that his name was Bill. Da-do, run, 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 da-do, run, run. Yeah, my heart stood still.
Run, 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 run.
to the Ronettes recording of Be My Baby. Interestingly, the only Ronette actually on this record was lead vocalist Ronnie Spector. The record featured the Spector wall of sound rendered by a full band, and the backup singers included both Sonny and Cher. The Beach Boys' Brian Wilson once called this song the greatest pop record ever made.
The night we met, I knew I needed you so. And if I had the chance, I'd never let you go. Won't you say you love me? I'll make you so proud of me. We'll make them turn their heads
every place we go.
Oh, won't you be?
Is a song that also was originally recorded in 1963, but the hit version came in 1964. Known as the Shoop Shoop Song, or It's in His Kiss, it was written by Randy Clark and recorded first by Mary Clayton, backed by the Blossoms, when Mary was at the ripe old age of 14. The following year, Betty Everett recorded it, backed by the Opals, and it went straight to number one on the charts. And in case you thought we were finished with Cher, she had a hit version of the song in 1990. So here are the Gospel Girls with the Firehouse Rounders.
Here we go.
Does he love me? I want to know. How can I tell if he loves me so?
Is it in his eyes?
Oh, no, you'll be deceived.
Is it in his eyes? Where it is.
Oh yeah, it's in his kiss.
That's where it is.
ba 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 ba.
Our last girl group song was actually recorded by a primarily male group, the Ad-Libs, in 1964. Boy from New York City was written by George Davis and John Taylor and produced by the legendary Lieber and Stoller. It peaked at number 8 on the charts.
Ooh-ah, ooh-ah, cool-cool kitty, tell us about the boy from New York City. Ooh-ah, ooh-ah, come on, kitty, tell us about the boy from New York. He's kind of tall. He's really fine. Yeah, yeah. And someday I hope to make him mine, all mine. Yeah, yeah. And he's neat and oh so sweet. And just the way he looked at me, swept me off my feet. Yeah, yeah. To come and see how he walks,
yeah, yeah,
and how he talks,
yeah, yeah.
Ooh ah, ooh ah, cool, cool kitty, tell us about the boy from New York. He's really down and he's no clown, yeah, yeah. He has the finest penthouse I've ever seen in town, yeah, yeah. And he's cute in his mohair suit. And he keeps his pockets full of spinning loot. Yeah, yeah. Ooh-wee. You ought to come and see his pretty bar. Yeah,
yeah.
And brand new car.
Yeah, yeah.
Every time he wants to kiss me, it makes me feel so fine. Every time he says he loves me, oh, chills run down my spine. Oh, yeah. He can dance and make romance. Yeah, yeah. And that's when I fell in love with just one glance. Yeah, yeah. He was shy, and so was I. And now I know I'll never, ever say goodbye. Yeah, yeah. Ooh-wee. You ought to come and see. He's the most,
yeah, yeah.
From coast to coast,
yeah, yeah.
Ooh-ah, ooh-ah, coo-coo, oh, yeah.
Tell us about the boy from New York City.
Ooh-ah, ooh-ah, come on,
kid.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us about the boy from New York City.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh-ah, ooh-ah, coo-coo, kid.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us about the boy from New York City.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh-ah, ooh-ah, come on, kid.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us about the boy from New York City.
Yeah, yeah.
Ginger Curry.
Let's hear it for our own girl group, the Gospel Girls. On a future show, we'll present songs from some of the leading female groups recorded prior to the 1960s.
For those of you who are older here in the audience, This particular narrative that I'm about to present to you has an audience part. If you've been to the shows before, you'll recognize it when you hear it. Many of you are probably aware that our sound effects man, Mr. Tony Brewer back here, has been given a number of awards for his work. To mention just a few, he walked off with the prestigious Best Rendition of Two Gangs of Rabbits Having a Street Brawl. He got that for the fourth straight year this year. He has also been recognized for his portrayal of a tent revival held by skunks. As well as for his heart-rending reproduction of a polar bear being wounded in a knife fight with Sarah Palin.
Yeah, you betcha.
His dramatic full-length operetta, Rudolph, A Story of Shame and Redemption, was met with widespread critical acclaim. But we at the Firehouse Follies take special pride in Tony's most recent honor. He has been named Sound Effects Man of the Year for variety shows produced by small community radio stations. Many of you will remember the sound effect that won this award for Tony. The exciting rendition of a group of commando otters who attacked and defeated a superior force of highly trained SEALs who were able to toss grenades back and forth and lob them at their enemies.
Here, catch, what?
You can see why I got the award for that one. Yes, indeed. The hero of the otters in that confrontation was young Oliver Otter, who was able, despite being mortally wounded, to use his flip tail to flip back the grenades into the ranks of the SEALs. But wait, you say. Why are all these sound effects depicting acts of violence? Like the Kitty Cat Brigade, Helicopter Brigade, bringing down wilting fire on their doggy enemies, for example. Or the deer going after the deer hunters.
Right through my sternum. Leave a mark.
That bothered Tony as well, and realizing there was too much violence in sound effects. So he made a brilliant and moving sound effect sequence about a wolf who decided he wanted to write poetry. Was rejected by a number of different poetry journals, and eventually achieved pain and fortune when he did a dramatic reading of his best-known poem, Howl.
That's awful.
Emboldened by the success there, Tony went on to create a passionate love story about interspecies love, featuring an armadillo and a concertina. Oh. So while some sound effects people just continue to focus their efforts on things like bridges collapsing and falling on ships. Tony is working on the story of a carrier pigeon. Now, wait a minute. That was a racing pigeon. Who valiantly carried a message from John all Marcia. The way across the country
Marcia.
To Marcia. in which he begged her to marry him. Not being the romantic sort, though, Marcia pulled out her .40-06 and shot the pigeon. I'm sorry, Tony, that was with a bow and arrow. And fixed it for dinner. Tony, it was a curry pigeon dinner. Yeah.
I'll let you have that one.
Well, despite his occasional setbacks, Tony was once turned down, you know, for a job when he absentmindedly mistook the love call of one of Indiana's killer mongooses for a declaration of war with a lion, from a lion, excuse me, with a thorn in his pole. Tony continues to practice his breathing exercises every day as well as spending some time each day running through the more difficult effects, such as the sound of a three-toed sloth sending a text message. So to all you young children listening today, both of you, remember, Tony, with a little hard luck and a lot of practice, you too can learn to do anything you want. Such as, for example, hitting a home run during the World Series. Kicking the winning field goal in the Super Bowl game.
Punt.
Or making a slam dunk against Kentucky.
Swoosh.
Nothing but net. Yes, and that, ladies and gentlemen, is Tony Brewer. And now let's turn our attention here to our wonderful band, the Firehouse Rounders.
Thank you.
It's 5:05, and you're listening to WFHB Firehouse Follies, coming to you live from the Ivy Tech Waldron Weikart Auditorium with support from Ivy Tech, Fine Print, Azip Pizza, Best Taste Chinese Restaurant, and the Needmore Coffee Roasters. We go now to the office of the toughest private eye in Bloomington, Bette Noir. Bette doesn't know it yet, but she's about to take on a case that will change her life.
Her life? Ha! I wish she'd take on a case that would change her bank account. Tomorrow's payday, and things ain't looking too good for little old Dolores.
I got to my office bright and early that Tuesday morning.
Bet, it's 2 p.m. And where were you all day yesterday?
Yesterday?
You know, Tuesday.
Whoops. What's today?
Ever since I can remember, the day after Tuesday has always been Wednesday. Are you okay?
I could hear the office cockroaches stomping on the floor. This hangover's worse than I thought, Dolores.
Have you been drinking, Bet?
Dolores' voice was fading in and out on me, and she was looking a little blurry. I must have had a lot more whiskey than I thought. All I could remember was beating up everyone in the bar.
Could you stop mumbling? You have bruises all over your face there. Were you fighting again?
I think so. Yeah, I was. That's what I do.
Well, try to look intelligent for a while. There's a guy waiting in your office who wants to hire you. We need the money, Bet.
Okay, already. Bring us some coffee and I'll see what I can do. She was fading in and out again.
Bet, I've told you 1,000 times. The coffee bar's right over there. If you want coffee, you make it yourself.
Give me a break, Dolores. I'm in no shape to make coffee this morning.
All right, I'll make the crummy coffee, but just remember to get some cash up front, okay?
I bumped into the wall twice going into my office. Not bad for a hangover day.
Ms. Noir?
Probably. Who in the wide, wide world of sports are you?
I'm Harrison Edsel from the Creative Replicants Action Program.
Sounds like a bunch of crap to me.
Well, yes, it is an unfortunate acronym. We strive to take creative measures to combat the dangers of replicants.
I thought all the replicants had been killed off.
That's what they'd like you to think. But look around. Do you really think our society could have fallen this low without the active participation of these soulless robot clones we call replicants?
Okay, you've got a point there.
That's why I keep my hat on.
What is it you want me to do, provided you'd come here to hire me to do something? And how much are you willing to pay me for it, provided I accept? And when can I have the money, provided you still want me?
You drive a hard bargain with all those provisions.
Yeah, and people say I'm a lousy provider. Go figure.
Look, we provide creative solutions to the replicant problem. I'm prepared to offer you $600 a day, plus expenses...
Cha-ching!
...with a 5-day retainer that you can keep even if you work only for a day.
Cha-ching! 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 Cha-ching!
$3,000? That'll keep Dolores off my back for a while. I'm in. Fork over the cash and tell me who I have to kill.
All right. What?
Come to mama, little Benny Franklins.
Replicants. You have to kill replicants. I thought that was obvious.
Well, I've done a bit of that in the past. Any specific replicants?
Yes, we recently found scientific evidence that a female replicant gave birth to twins who were fathered by a human. We want you to track those two down and deliver them to us alive so we can study them. Kill anyone who gets in your way.
Any clues about who they are or where I might find them?
Well, they're not aware that they're replicants. But, like all replicants, except for the orange-tinted one, they have almost no money and spend most of their time drinking and getting into bar fights. Here's my card. You can reach me at the number on the back. Oh, and don't tweet the orange-haired replicant.
Here's your coffee, Bet. Hey, where's the guy?
I put a grand in my pocket. He left through the back door. Here, let me pay for the coffee.
Oh, there must be a couple of grand here. What'd you do, mug him?
I couldn't. The Firehouse Follies mugs got here too late. Pay yourself, Dolores, and buy something you don't really need, like food or something. Bank the rest. You may not be seeing much of me for a while. I have a feeling this case will change my life.
Change your life? Where did I just hear that?
See you later, Dolores. Take care. I had to get out on the street to talk to some people. Downtown has been different since they replaced all the restaurants with mobile dining experience centers, not to mention all the checkpoints they put up. I stopped at Checkpoint McRobbie.
ID, please.
Yeah. Like, here you are.
You don't look like you're under 30, but the ID's good. Go on in.
I used to use a fake ID to show I was old enough to get into bars. Now I need one to show I'm young, since only people under 30 can enter downtown protected area. I headed straight for Tony's Tiki Tac Tacos and Tempura.
Hey, Beth, long time no see. What's up?
Tony, I need an eel liver taco, a couple of taco sushi rolls, and a side order of information. You got anything hot?
Oh, for you, Beth, there's always information. What are you interested in?
Replicants. Who's the person to see about replicants?
Oh, that'll be Dr. Doom. Word under the street is he's a working a whole new line of replicants, something that will change the game and the way it's played. The only one in production so far, though, is flawed. It's tinted orange and doesn't talk about anything but itself.
Well, that explains something. Where's this Doom guy hang out?
Oh, it's some abandoned place on the wrong side of the Beeline Trail. Be careful, though. His toady can be dangerous. He's a hologram.
Thanks, Tony. I owe you.
Yes, you do. That'll be $15.76 for the food.
Oh, yeah. Here. Keep the change.
Bet?
Yeah?
That's a 10 spot.
As I left Tony's, I could still hear his parting words.
Hey, Bet! You still owe me $5.76. Hey, Bet!
I would visit Dr. Doom and put him out of business. But first, I needed to find a replicant who didn't think much of money and enjoyed drinking and bar fights. I had a pretty good idea of where to look.
While Bet is looking for a hard drinking, bar fighting replicant, let's use the magic of radio to transport us to Dr. Doom's hideout.
Master! Oh, welcome back. Did your meeting with the replicant private detective go as planned?
Of course it did, you cretin. My plans always go as planned. Well, maybe the orange-haired replicant isn't what he said he would be, but I'm still a genius. Surely, you don't think I could make a mistake?
I'm Toady, Master. Not Shirley. Her agent canceled her contract because of the bad jokes. It was a foolish question, Master, but it was in the script.
I'd slap you for that, but you're a hologram. My hand would go right through you.
Well, it's the thought that counts, Master. What do we do now?
Cretin! We've been over this 100 times.
Oh, but please just tell me once more. I love hearing you say it.
Yes, I am quite convincing, aren't I? Well, since you asked.
Oh, thank you, Master.
Don't interrupt. This skit is long enough as it is.
Right again, as always, Master.
What did I tell you about interrupting? Don't answer that.
Okay.
I went to see the private eye, Bette Noir, and told her to find the mystery replicants. She has no idea that she is a replicant herself, and that she is one of the twins I told her about. When she finds her brother, she is to bring him to me, and we will then eliminate them both.
Why must we do that, Master?
You cretin!
That tickles.
They're mixtures of human and replicant, and only they have the power to thwart my evil plans.
Oh, okay. Oh, I remember now. But, wait, what? What were the evil plans again?
Cretin! Nothing less than world domination, of course.
Sounds wonderful, Master. Can I be the Vice Dominator?
Why not? The current one is really a common dominator.
Leave Dr. Doom and Toady to their dreams of world domination and see what Bet is up to at the untoward bar and grill.
I walked into the untoward just in time to see Max Payne finishing off the last customer. Hey, Max. Nice uppercut. How's things?
I just finished off the last customer. My sometimes ally, Bette Noir, walked in. Bette, long time. No see. How's tricks?
One of the guys Max had knocked out started to move. So I kicked him. Trix, my dog? She's doing fine, Max. Bring that bottle over here and sit with me. We need to talk.
She kicked a guy who was down.
Oh, not again.
And then asked for booze. Sure thing, Bette.
Come on, Max. You can do better than that. You call that a drink? I call that a sip. You can't trust him around booze.
I didn't want to give her too much. You can't trust her around booze. Sorry, Bet. I looked her in the eye. Okay, Bet, what's up?
I looked straight at him. Max, what do you remember about your childhood?
Not much. Something about a Trojan horse I hid when I was about 3, not much else. Why do you ask?
What was your mother like?
Her question took me by surprise. I don't remember, nor my father. What's this all about?
He looked surprised. Max, I have good reason to believe that you're part replicant, that you were born from a union of human male and a replicant female.
I was shocked, but I played it cool. What reason?
He looked shocked, but he was trying to be cool. I gave it to him straight. It says so in the script, Max. Surely we have to believe the script.
Shirley left this show a couple episodes back because of the corny humor, to be frank.
Frank, yeah, he left too. Same reasons.
Okay, so I'm part replicant. What then?
There's more.
I'm all ears.
Yeah, that's a pretty glaring design flaw. But look, Max, I am too. I pulled my hair up. All ears, that is.
Her ears were enormous. I never noticed how big your ears were.
Well, I've always kept them covered. Don't you see, Max? I'm your twin sister.
Twins?
Yeah. This guy who hired me said I should look for twins. It makes perfect sense, Max. We're both really good at finding replicants. We both like to drink and get into bar brawls. And neither of us has any real memories of our past. And we have trouble with money, Max.
Well, when you put it that way, it does make sense.
It's obvious that I'm being double-crossed, Max. He wants me to bring you to him so he can eliminate both of us.
Two can play at that game.
But first, I believe we need to pay a visit to Dr. Doom.
Dr. Doom and Toadie are still dreaming their dreams of world domination.
Hologram! Hologram for Dr. Doom, dominator of the world!
Yes, Toadie, we will soon dominate the entire world.
Oh, well, can I have all the blue M&Ms I want then?
Yes, of course you can. And as many anchovies as you'd like.
Now, all together? Like, on one pizza?
If you wish.
Oh, world domination sounds delicious, Master.
It will be just that, Toadie. Just that.
We have company, Master.
I wonder who that could be. Who is it? Oh, it's Kenny G, my musical idol. Come in, come in. You're welcome here.
Well, if it isn't Harrison Edsel. And let me guess, your friend here, is he called Hugo?
Of course not. My name is Cretan. Toadie, a Cretan.
Cretan! This is Bet Noir.
Allow me to present my brother, Max Payne.
Oh, she knows, Toadie. Quick, attack!
Congratulations, Max. You just knocked out a hologram.
Kind of like shadow boxing, to tell you the truth, but what do we do with this Doom character?
I'd say we turn him into the authorities.
He's a very solid hologram, but on what charge?
AWD.
AWD?
Attempted world domination.
Again?
Yeah, we know you're the one who created the orange-tinted replicant so you could rule the world.
I was so close. Just a few circuits got shorted, or I would have succeeded. I'll do better next time.
The orange one, you're responsible for that?
Well, yes.
Can you turn it off?
No, it's totally out of control. There's nothing I can do.
Then I need to do something to you.
Go ahead and pop him one, Max. I can see you're dying to.
With pleasure. If we can't stop the orange one, at least we can do something about the source.
Okay, little brother, let's cart these two off to jail and go celebrate.
What do you mean, little brother? I distinctly remember being born first.
How about we talk about that over a bottle of whiskey?
You buy.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back the new Hoosier Broadcasters.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's a fox chase. There it goes. Folks, we're going to play some good dance music. See, ain't right, get right, get ready now. Let's go. You ready? All right. Lady on a steamboat. Woo! Thank you.
Ben Thompson on the fiddle. Huh? Ben Thompson on the fiddle. Danny Weddle on guitar. Chet Gray on bass. Jack. Play banjo.
Slow it down a little bit. Slow it down? Yeah. All right.
Masters. It's time to go to the Follies Fake Newsroom for your holiday dose of good old-fashioned fake news. Remember, folks, we're living in the age of social media, which means that all realities are created equal. What you believe is just as true as what other people believe, but it isn't as true as what I believe because I happen to be controlling the microphone at this moment. So there. Also remember that fake news is brought to you by the wonderful people at Fiddlin' Joe Enterprises, who have graciously agreed to forego commercials about their wonderful products, including but not limited to Arby's Roadkill A-Go-Go, Vialis, the miracle pill for men, and Ugly Away, guaranteed to make you beautiful to all who behold you. So, without further ado, we take you now to Gordon Flash of our fake news department, and remember, Fiddlin' Joe makes it all possible.
That's right, friends. Fiddlin' Joe, maker of proven popular products, including but not limited to Gertie's Stink Bait, the Fiddlin' Joe non-action figures, and the Fiddlin' Joe Institute for the Preservation of Mediocrity. It's proud to be the official non-sponsor sponsor of Fake News for the Follies and reminds you that your support will make even more fake news available to you, the legions of gullible consumers. So, buy a fake product and support fake news. Now, here's Gordon.
Good afternoon and welcome to That Was the Week That Wasn't. Fake news is made possible by Fiddlin' Joe Enterprises, which graciously is sponsoring this show with no commercial interruptions, not even to talk about the Fiddlin' Joe Institute for the Preservation of Mediocrity. Let's go directly to roving reporter Sarah Huckster Panders. What's going on out there, Sarah? As if you'd tell us.
Era Huckster Panders here with some exciting news about a mysterious discovery of dead cobras. I'm here live on the outskirts of the town of Trevilac with Professor Adolphus Kornblum, who has found what he describes as a mass grave of Midwestern cobra. Dr. Kornblum, can you tell us about your discovery?
Yeah, indeed I can. Very perplexing indeed. We are standing on a patch of land that is owned by Jefferson Hoopengrupper, who has been farming these 100 acres out here for the last 57 years. Do I have that right, Mr. Hoopengrupper?
Well, yes, sir. But we call that one Heinz year.
Wait for it.
I found these here snake skeletons not more than 20 feet from the outhouse.
Dr. Kornblum, do you have an explanation of this discovery?
Well, for years the scientific community has taken it as a matter of faith that the Midwestern cobra went extinct for dubious reasons. We are hoping this discovery will provide insight into why this happened. Hopefully we will conclude...
Dr. Kornblum! Dr. Kornblum!
Henderson, did I not tell you not to bother me when I am engaged with the media? This has become unbecoming behavior in a first-year graduate student.
I'm sorry, Dr. Kornblum, but we have found several more cobra skeletons on the other side of the property, along with a copperhead that looks like it's been freshly killed.
Yeah. Nice work, Henderson. Now let me get back to my interview. And I believe there's a big stack of essay exams and a big fat red pen waiting for you back in my office. Now, as I was saying...
But Dr. Kornblum... Could this be related to the mongoose sighting in Needmore last week?
Mongoose! Ha! You're out of your depth, Henderson. In! Over your head! The only mongooses remain in North America are the eastern apple-sniffing mongoose and the Canadian red-green mongoose. This mongoose native to the region, to this region, they have been extinct for hundreds of years.
And what are these called, these mongai?
Excuses me?
The mongasses that became extinct.
Well, we attempt to avoid speaking of these dreadful creatures, for they were the Indiana killer mongooseries. IU has not had a decent football team since they died out.
Well, now you just hold on a minute. My daddy's granddaddy befell an untimely death from the terrible claws of a never-identified member of the Feliforma carnivores. And then the same mongoy?
It was worse than you could ever dream. Fathers would whisper the name to terrify their sons as they journeyed through the dark forest. The natives, they call it Mono Bono Tiki Ha Ha, which loosely translated means, hey, that thing's going to stay in your tent tonight, Bubba. It was not to be trifled with. We have cave art of these mongoosia doing horrific victory dances over the bodies of the dead cobras. They were the top of the food chain, but strangely, they disappeared about the time of the cobras, and there has not been a sighting in Indiana since 1757.
Well, I'll tell you something, buddy. Something's been tangling with these here snakes. What if one of them varmints decided to stick around?
One of the killer mongoosia? This is nonsense. Just circumstantial evidence and rumor mongoosering. Real science, it is built on infutable data.
What was that?
Well, those essays are not going to grade themselves. I'll be in my office.
Dr. Kornblum, why are you leaving? We're going to need you if that noise is what I think it is.
Well, congratulations, Henderson. I just promoted you to lead investigator. Truth be told, I prefer the theoretical aspects of mongoosetology anyway. Okay, good luck. Nine, let me out of here.
Holy smokes. Who'd have thought a zoologist could run that fast?
Did you hear how close that was? It must be stalking us.
Everybody stay calm. Henderson, what do you know about preventing a mongoose attack?
Let me pull out Dr. Kornblum's mongoose guide. Let's see. Preventing attacks. Okay, I got this one. It says here, the mongooseries are violently provoked by high-pitched noises, so under no circumstances...
What the heck are you doing, Hoop and Grouper?
Oh, sorry about that. I always kind of get a little yodel when I get nervous.
Oh, stop playing around. We have to figure this out. There could be a Nobel Prize in it for me if we find the last Indiana killer mongoose. Now everybody just needs to stay calm and go to their happy place.
Yeah, and just how are we supposed to do that? I'm as jumpy as a tree frog on a summer blacktop.
How should I know? It's different for everybody. Me, for instance. I find it very relaxing just to stand here and hold your pet kitty cat and scratch his furry little head.
What'd you just say?
Your kitty here. He's nice. He likes it when I fluff him behind the ears.
Buddy, there's something you ought to know.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
I ain't got no cat.
This thing I'm holding, it's a...
Yep. It's one of them killer mongooses you're holding, and I think he likes you.
Reporting to you live from Hooped Grouper's farm in Trevlak. Ladies and gentlemen, the mystery of the killer mongoose has been solved, and we're out of here. Back to you, Gordon.
I don't want to hold a mongoose. Anybody? Does anybody want to hold the mongoose? Somebody? Anybody? Mommy?
That thing's staying in your tent tonight, Bubba.
Poor Henderson. If only he'd had a Fiddlin' Joe's mongoose repellent, he could have avoided his ultimate fate.
Well, be careful when you go to Trevlag, my friends. And unfortunately, that's all the time we have for fake news today. And that's the way it's not.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's the WFHB Gospel Girls.
Sometimes I miss you so. The room's getting dark, so I light a few candles, slip into my mandolin.
Jamaica kicks in.
Imagination, my best friend. Now we're walking by the ocean again. Up here
in Indiana,
there's a bright new sprinkling of snow. Looks like God spray painted diamonds over everything. What a show. I remember you on a moonlight beach, watching stars fall from way up high. And here
in Indiana,
ooh, I'm thinking about you tonight. Doing fine, and I guess I'm okay too. Still, every now and then, I'd like to touch your skin, boy. I wanna sing to you.
I wanna sing.
But for now, it's just me and your memory sharing a bottle.
Love wine.
On this cold silver night, a song's taken flight as I think about you one more time.
Ooh,
up here
in Indiana,
there's a bright new sprinkling of snow. It looks like God spray painted diamonds over everything. What a show. I remember you on a
moonlight beach,
watching stars fall from way up high. And here
in
I'm thinking about you tonight. Here
in Indiana,
I'm thinking about you tonight.
Thank you.
Suzette Weekly.
Hark how the bells, sweet silver bells, all seem to say, throw cares away. Ding, Christmas is here, bringing good cheer to young and old, meek and the bold. Ding dong, ding dong, that is the song with joyful ring, all caroling. One seems to hear words of good cheer from everywhere, filling the air. All how they pound, raising the sound, all hear the dance, telling the tale. Gaily they ring while people sing songs of good cheer. Christmas is here, merry, 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 merry Christmas. Merry, 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 merry Christmas. On they send, on without end, their joyful tone to every home. Hark how the bells, sweet silver bells, all seem to say, throw cares away. Christmas is here, bringing good cheer to young and old, meek and the bold. Ding, dong, ding, dong, that is a song with joyful ring, all caroling. One seems to hear words of good cheer from everywhere, filling the air. Oh, how they pound, praising the sound, all hill or dale, telling the tale. Gaily they ring while people singing songs of good cheer. Christmas is here. Merry, 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 merry Christmas. Merry, joyful, merry, merry Christmas. On they send, on without end, their joyful tone to every home. On they send, on without end, their joyful tone to every home. Ding.
There are only 25 more days until shopping days until Christmas, you understand, friends, but Fiddlin' Joe can help.
Tesla Roadster for Christmas.
A Tesla Roadster? What in the world is that?
Oh, Mommy, it's the coolest sports car ever. It can go 250 miles an hour.
Well, it sounds expensive.
It's only $200,000.
I don't know, dear. Our used Edsel is still running, and we can't afford much else right now.
Tesla Roadster, Tesla Roadster. I want it. And if you don't buy me a Tesla Roadster, I'll steal one. And if I get caught, I'll say it was your idea.
But, dear, you're too short to drive anything, let alone...
I want one. Want one.
Well, Mommy, don't you think it's about time you put the pedal to the metal?
I can't buy her a $200,000 car. My job going door-to-door selling Kenny G merchandise just doesn't pay nearly well enough for something like that.
Well, first, fortunately for you, Mommy, Fiddlin' Joe has the solution for your problem, and it'll hardly cost you anything at all.
Does Fiddlin' Joe sell high-end sports cars at low-end prices now?
Well, not exactly, but Fiddlin' Joe's taken a page from the politician's playbook with a product that will divert her attention.
What in the world do you mean?
I want one now.
See how focused she is?
Well, you just wait till she gets a look at this baby.
Whoa, what is that?
This, Mommy, is the Tesla Sports Tricycle by Fiddlin' Joe. It's got all the latest technologies. Here's a place for her to put her cell phone so she can text while pedaling. And over here, there's two cup holders to hold her little sippy cups. And we've got the patented Fiddlin' Joe Accelerator Pedal, and it's guaranteed to take this bad boy from 0 to 60 in less than 2 minutes.
My goodness. So it looks like it'll go faster than our Edsel.
It'll leave that scrap heap in the dust.
Mommy, I want this trike. All my little friends will be so jealous. But, Mommy, please, please, please.
But, dear, I thought you wanted the Tesla Roadster.
Oh, that piece of trash. When I could have this nifty, cool twerk. Come on, Mommy, get woke.
Well, it certainly beats spending $200,000. We'll take it.
Oh, Mommy, I love you. And I love Fiddlin' Joe, too.
That's Fiddlin' Joe Enterprises to keep the little brat in your life happy. And don't forget, Fiddlin' Joe has a special on Christmas gift packages right now for the bigger brats in your family.
Oh, the personal enhancement pack will be perfect for Uncle Donald. It has Vialis for improved libido functions and Ugly Away and Fiddlin' Joe's natural hair restoration cream to make him attractive to women again. I'll get one of those, too.
Yes, sirree, that's Fiddlin' Joe Enterprises, a product for every occasion and everyone in your life.
Let's hear it now for the Firehouse Rounders. That's our show for today, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks to Armitage Community College for underwriting this show. Thanks also to J. Lynn Designs and Fine Print, and to Azza Pizza, Best Taste Chinese Restaurant, and Need More Coffee Roasters to keep us fed and caffeinated. Special thanks to the new Hoosier broadcasters for joining us. And thanks to the WFHB Gospel Girls, Suzette Wheatley, Ginger Curry, Sarah Flint. The Firehouse Rounders were Mike Stiglitz on guitar, Dan Withard on saxophone, Carolyn Dutton on fiddle, Dan Deckard on drums, and Ron Paytish on bass. The unusual suspects were Mark Blackwell, Richard Fish, Betty Greenwell, Mike Leonard, Brian Roberts, Becky Staff, Hondo Thompson, and Tom Trent. Tony Brewer provided sound effects. House sound was by Jim Lang, and radio sound by Jeffrey Sundog Morris. Our technical crew was Marion Connaby, Dan Withard, Ilza Ackerbers, and Cheryl Mitchell, and studio engineer Emily Jackson. Today's show was written by Mr. Snuffleupagus, the Count, and the other residents of the Occupy Sesame Street home for Over the Hill Riders. Stage manager is Dan G-Man Salvaggi, and our director is Richard Fish. The show was produced by Mike Kelsey. Our theme song is Firehouse Blues, written by Jason Fickle. For WFHB, I'm Dan Salvaggi, reminding you to save the date of March 18th for the next Firehouse Follies.